views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hello, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we get together with some of the foremost experts on organizational culture to help you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really excited to have Vito Chesky here with us to discuss how to avoid chaos, save your company, and improve your culture. So we have a lot to cover today, a lot to get done. Vito's perspective on culture is going to help us more easily understand how we can create brilliant organizations and also what holds us back from doing that. So let me introduce Vito. Vito is the founder of Icon Staff, which is a Boston-based executive recruiting firm that specializes in the technology markets, not only in Boston, but around the country and around the globe. Since 1997, Vito has worked with startups of five people all the way up to large, really well-established companies. And what I love about Vito's work is that he's helped many of what we would now consider to be brand-name startups build their initial executive teams. And I think one of the reasons he's been so successful at building these teams is that because he really gets organizations and what makes them successful. And that's something that's clear to me every time Vito and I have a conversation. So welcome, Vito. Welcome to Cultural Brilliance.
Claudette, thank you very much for the wonderful introduction. Much appreciated, and very happy to be here to share whatever nuggets of information that I can that will help other budding organizations do a great job as they build a successful culture, which ultimately transfers into a successful company.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to our conversation. So the title we gave today's show, How to Avoid Chaos, Save Your Company, and Improve Your Culture, makes me want to ask right away, from your perspective, what causes chaos in companies?
Our title is a mouthful, and there are so many variables, and I try to keep things simple, particularly for the early companies that I tend to serve. Our firm focuses on two things. We do established companies, and as you mentioned, we build early companies. And over the last 20 years, I've noticed several common denominators that I could very easily put a finger on that would allow me to actually look ahead and say, yep, this company's going to make it, or nope, this one will not make it. And that's essentially how we choose who to work with. We obviously want to work with those that have the greatest chance of making it. And there are two common denominators that I have noticed, to answer your question, that lead to chaos. There would be poor clarity and poor communication. Mm-hmm. In its simplest form. And of course, they are loaded topics, which we can discuss.
Absolutely. They are loaded topics, right? We could spend a whole show on either one of those topics.
Indeed.
So what, in terms of communication, what are the maybe top two or three things that you see, you know, where companies maybe fall down when they could really be more successful?
That's a great question, Claudette. I'll make it simpler than that. I'll take it towards one paradigm that's very easily understood, I think, by all business people, whether you're running the company or working for the company. Companies tend to focus on their external communications. There is a tremendous amount of effort and energy spent on building a message of clarity, purpose, and that really it involves all the goals of the organizations. And companies do not spend a proportionally equal time, which I feel is extremely important, on the internal communication aspects of what goes on in a company. What gets said, by whom, when, what is the message, what is the purpose, what kind of clarity is it being presented with, are goals being discussed? And all of this ultimately leads to a need for a system of accountability within an organization. And I find that that is oftentimes missing from just about every startup that's being founded by a first-time founder. What makes it interesting is that when I see a founder who has founded subsequent companies, whether they've won or lost in those previous companies, they tend to do a better job of creating a system that sets clear targets and really defines what accountability means within an organization. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So it sounds like most of them really learn from their early mistakes on thinking that communication can be a little more informal or ad hoc.
Learning from those early mistakes is really the core of what I'm trying to get across. So it, just in relating it back to who we represent or who we choose to represent in terms of the companies we build, always looking to ensure that the lessons have been learned and that those lessons can be expressed in a positive and clear manner to the organization. In fact, we judge startups based on three different aspects, so as not to we don't have a crystal ball, and those three aspects are: who's running the company, the people involved, have they been to a startup or have they not been to a startup? And if they have, the chances of success in that organization an order of magnitude higher than for someone who hasn't. So we look for a history of having been at a startup or having run a startup, whether lose or fail. The second part is the funding. Of course, funding has to be appropriate, and this is a different topic and a different discussion. The funding has to be right. And finally, the product. It can't necessarily be a product that's chasing some unforeseen marketplace. It has to resonate with the marketplace, and it has to be something that provides value to the masses. But that first one is inescapable. You've either been there or you haven't, and there are two kinds: those that will run into culture clashes and those that already have. So if you already have, hopefully you have a system and a way of making things better in your next startup. And that's a very important variable, particularly if we are to recruit. Everyone wants to recruit the very best. Everyone mm-hmm. wants the A player. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that not all organizations are actually geared to attract those A players. A players are A players for a reason. Part of it has to do with where they have spent their time, from better schools to better companies to better social circles, whatever it may be. If a company is trying to attract a better engineer or a better executive or a better employee, they need to showcase that they have this system of accountability, clear targets, and clear steps to get there.
Absolutely. And it's making me think about when I used to be an employee. I've been doing been a consultant for 17 years. But prior to that, when I was an employee, and I sometimes see the companies I'd work for, as you said, bring in these really big A players. And they would come in and they'd look around like, what am I doing here? You know, now that I'm here, right? Like, you guys weren't ready for me. I'm almost too big for what you have going on. And it sounds like that's what you're saying, right? That sometimes these A players come in and it's just not a fit for them.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. And yeah. And what a daunting feeling it is to show up and recognize after a week or two of working that you perhaps made a wrong decision. And that wrong decision wasn't necessarily predicated on this being the wrong technology or the wrong company. It's the wrong culture. Mm-hmm. So when you're accustomed to cultural greatness and you go into an organization that lacks any types of greatness, if you will, or direction or an organization that actually makes culture an imperative, most important part of what they're trying to achieve and what they're trying to bestow on their employees and customers, you find yourself in a pretty sad situation. And this is when I get the calls. Oftentimes I'll get a call from a really great person and they will say, look, I made a mistake. And that happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. And it usually goes to culture. That's what people recognize first. And that's what they learn first about any organization.
And when those A players give you a call and say, I think I made a mistake, I'm just curious if there's a common denominator when they describe the culture, like disorganized, or is there anything that stands out with what they talk about?
Sure. And I'll take it right back to my original statement about clarity, purpose, and goals. The clarity isn't there. The purpose isn't well defined. And the goals are non-existent. And those are the three common denominators that drive people away from companies.
So really, yeah, it sounds like that's it in a nutshell, right? The lack of clarity, lack of goals. Yeah.
Yep. That really is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So if anything, I often consult with company founders. We do a lot of pro bono consulting to companies, giving back to the startup community, which has been so good to us. Very seldom am I asked about culture and how to build these cultural hooks, if you will, that will allow this company. They're always looking for A players. We want the best, we want the best, we want the best. And I always say, can you handle the best? And if you find the best, do you know what to do about it? How do you identify them and how do you attract them? And it never goes to culture. Interestingly enough, it never goes there. It goes to, we have these great tools, we have these great people, we have these great customers, but nothing that is specific. And when I say nothing, and this is 10 out of 10 times.
Nothing that's specific. Wow.
Nothing at all. But when I see it and when I find it, that's where we have greatness. That's where we have greatness, ease of time in recruiting and attracting those A players. And that happens when that cultural thought or those cultural ramifications that have been planned out in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Absolutely.
Anything else. Yeah. You have to plan it.
You have to plan it. And so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dive right into the leader's role in this planning, right? The leader's role in developing this culture. So you're listening to Culture Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence. As I mentioned, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about how to avoid chaos, save your company, and improve your culture. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life?
Yeah.
Check us out, thedrpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm.
Oh my goodness.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
You. Yes, you. Can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Renkel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit dragnesfrankel.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's ATANAMethod.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Sky Siegel, co-host one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Everybody, we're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley, and my guest today is Vito Chesky of Icon Staff, who is talking with us about how to avoid chaos, save your company, and improve your culture. So if you're just joining us, we were just talking about some of the mistakes that companies make, especially small startups make, when they're starting out, when they're building their cultures, and they really want to retain those A players. Vito, I know one of the things we had just been touching on was leadership, right? And how sometimes, especially leaders who are starting a company for the first time, founding a company for the first time, aren't necessarily focused on goals, clarity, and accountability. I was wondering if you could share with us a story about, you know, a company that didn't do that really well and what happened.
Sure. It would be great to make this example and counterpoint in keeping things positive. I'd love to also share a story where the leaders did get it right, and it led to greatness.
Excellent. So thank you.
In the first one, in the first case, this is actually a real life situation. A startup came to us about 18 months ago, and they were having trouble hiring and retaining talent, particularly technical talent in the Boston area, where we have arguably the second highest concentration of technology companies in the United States. There's a lot of competition for talent. Of course, this startup, like many startups in the Boston area, have received some significant funding in the order of millions of dollars, and they'd like to deliver their product to the masses sooner, quicker, faster, better. And in this case, the product is a wonderful product that helps people plan for their retirement years. It's a better mousetrap for financial planning. So great story, great possibility from a product perspective. You have great funding, right? Those are the two very important things. But that final variable, I questioned because the leader, the CEO of the company wasn't necessarily coming from a startup environment himself. And I think he was taking shots in the dark as to how he wants to tee up his culture. Mm-hmm. And what it has led to at present, he's able to hire some great employees, but these great employees are now contacting me saying, things aren't going so well. We pivot for no reason. We don't get a chance to voice our opinion. All sorts of stuff. There isn't one thing I can put a finger on. It's a myriad of complaints, mm-hmm. and really all of those complaints stem back to the same exact thing: poor clarity, poor communication. And those are the two diagnoses that I have made, mm-hmm. and I'm actually in the process of sitting down with said CEO to try to help him remedy that. But part of the initial part of remedying that is actually being aware. And many CEOs, being a CEO or C-level exec in a startup is a lonely place. And you mm-hmm. don't necessarily get to run your information by everyone. Not everyone has a great coach that they can rely on. And oftentimes we're thrust into that position. So I'm in this unenviable place where I have to tell somebody who's extremely high level running this company that they're not doing it right, and they're about to lose those A players that they scrambled and paid for so dearly. So that there it is. And this company is 18 months in the process. They have a fighting chance. But if the three employees that are threatening to leave, they will be in a lurch. They will not be able to deliver the code that they have promised to the marketplace, which negates any value that they have built up to now. So there is a serious story, and this is actually a true story.
Yeah, and it's such an instructive story, isn't it, about how when leaders become what I call culturally blind to what's going on in their companies, and it sounds like perhaps this leader might be, based on the way you described it, that they can really end up with a crisis, a true crisis, as you were saying. If these three A players leave, they're not going to be able to deliver the product they promised to deliver. So, I'm curious.
Yeah. I love it, by the way, culturally blind. I think you should patent that if you haven't already. That's essentially what's happening. This executive is going through the days with blinders on, thinking that, hey, I hired these A players. So now I just press a button and I forget, and they will deliver. And they don't. And it's not the way it is. You have to nurture, just like you nurture your family, you nurture your children, you nurture a pet. Whatever it may be, you need to nurture things along, people along, to get to that final destination. And that destination is greatness, the antithesis of which is chaos.
Yeah. And so when leaders are culturally blind, or maybe become culturally blind over a while, which I've also seen happen, they're not necessarily initially, but over time they become, what do you think might be going on? What's going on for that leader internally?
Great question. $1 million question. I suspect several things are happening. And one of those things is just simple day-to-day stress. We get stressed out when we build lists of things to do. It's equivalent to that ongoing list that any of us build at a certain time. Like on Monday, I have a list. I have 10 things on it. On Tuesday, I add another 10. By Friday, a list has grown to 50 things, and I can't do them all.
Right.
I couldn't even put them in a Scrum configuration and hope to pull it off, because there are just too many. And that is absolutely attributed to, each and every time, to a lack of a system of accountability. Building systems of accountability that are particular and specific to your configuration and your company are crucial to the success of that company.
What are some systems of accountability that you've seen that have worked really well in the startup environment?
That's a great question. That is very particular to the company and the type of company. So I work with, we work with predominantly technology companies, and their systems of accountabilities are often tied to some type of technology. It could be as simple as everyone adopting and agreeing to use a Trello board. You're going to use technology and actually move projects from completion, from the bin of everything to completion. You'd be surprised how many startups don't have this. Don't have a meeting.
Yeah.
Right? There are wonderful technologies out there that can actually keep a team on track and progressing. And it could be as simple as that, or as complex as anything you can dream of. So corporate information systems right now, with our ability to slice and dice data and have data brought into the organization, and then you have to analyze that data, and then you can actually move the needle on user experience or lifetime value or whatever it may be. These systems have to be set up. They have to be conceived, set up, communicated, and adhered to. Oftentimes, 8 out of 10, it's missing.
It's missing, yeah. And one thing I see in organizations is this, even in large organizations, I've seen this on particular teams or departments, and certainly in a smaller startup environment, that's sort of seen as a fluffy thing off to the side, like we have some real work to do here, which might be in, writing code, right? Or building some other product, or we sell a service, or whatever it is. But systems of accountability and communication and communication flow, and how we handle conflict, and how we pay attention to nurturing people, is this thing off to the side that's optional, when it actually really isn't optional, which I know is what you've, you know, we've been talking about. It's actually critical to the success of the company.
Very true. And the example I was making, and of course, we can do another segment about, you know, what are some of these examples that you could use. But we're talking about technology right now. But beyond technology, recognizing and rewarding your contributors. Extremely important. Cultivating strong working relationships. How do you do that? For example, Facebook, they have a wonderful environment where they bring in artists who... within any of their development offices, they will bring in an artist, and the artist will actually draw on a wall. They will take a wall and they'll create a mural. But it's not just the artist drawing and creating that mural. He will bring in enough paintbrushes for the entire team. And people are encouraged to stand up and add to the artistic project, to the wall mural, regardless of what your skills may be as an artist. Simple, fun things like that go a really long way in keeping people motivated and, of course, cultivating those strong coworker relationships, which are absolutely crucial.
Absolutely. I love that idea. That's an amazing idea and such a creative way to bring people together and generate relationships and connections. So we're going to take a break. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. And when we come back, Vito Chesky and I will be talking more about what has worked in companies when they've built really great cultures, and then what we can do to help companies be really successful when they're scaling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Join in on one of the most life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service. In each of our upcoming shows, you're going to have the opportunity to join thousands as we focus healing energy to elevate and balance our world. This is a chance for like-minded individuals like you and I to join forces with lightworkers all over the globe as we light the way for peace, harmony, and a world driven by love. You'll also learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine, author of The Joy Chronicles, invites you to join her and millions of others working with the Galactic Masters, Angels, and the Ashtar Command as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, E-L-A-I-N-E.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and I have Vito Chesky with me here today. And in case you're just joining us, we have been talking about how to avoid chaos, save your company, and improve your company's culture. We were just talking about leadership and what doesn't work. Vito, before we jump into what does work, could you share your contact information for the listeners?
Sure. Shameless plug anytime.
Absolutely.
So we are located just north of Boston, and we are iconstaff.com, all one word, iconstaff.com. And it's a toll-free number. It's 676. I'm sorry. Our direct number is 978-521-9190. If you'd like to call us direct, we do actually pick up the phone.
Oh, that's great. Wow. Old fashioned.
Old school.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. So, Vito, you were going to share with us, it sounds like a great success story of a company that built a wonderful culture, a startup.
Sure. One of my favorite things to do is to tell stories of greatness, because stories inspire people. They inspire employees to take the leap. We're in recruiting, and recruiting has a lot to do with getting a person to motivate, to take that leap of faith, to walk down the halls of life, if you will, and open these different doors on your left and on your right. That's what great recruiting is about. Getting someone inspired to walk down that hall and actually opening a door and walking inside. And there's no better way to allow that to happen than to tell a story of greatness, or the greatness actually usually ties to a company culture, because let's face it, we go to work and spend enough time at work. We actually spend more time at work than we do with our families at time. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to spend that time at work, it might as well be in a place that's deserving of your time. And one of my favorite success stories, and a company that I have been with from the beginning of their time, is a well-known company called TripAdvisor.
Yeah, absolutely.
TripAdvisor started roughly 15 or 16 years ago. And I received a call from the CEO of the company at that point. He asked me to vote for them on Cool Website of the Day, which was really charming. And of course, Steve, no problem, voted. And he asked that we locate and find the very first software engineering professional that they would hire. And I set out on a search. We have a very standardized process that we follow, and then we do our magic that we do. And I was able to identify a number of people, and I was able to bring everyone to the table, despite no history of culture, by describing the culture that this particular CEO had built in his previous company, describing his history. And of course, he ran another company, and it was well known enough that some of this was true it was documented and it was well known. But what's interesting is this leader, and I'll call him a leader, Steve Coffer, who's the CEO of TripAdvisor. By the way, he's been there since the beginning. The company has had tremendous growth. They are number one in travel at present, across the entire universe. Mm-hmm. So they're doing something right. And what they're doing right, what they have always done right, particularly in the beginning, is culture. They got the culture right by understanding what works for them. And what works for them is passion. Mm-hmm. Their cultural ramifications all centered around passion, finding passionate people, measuring the passion of the recruits that were coming in, and then fostering and allowing the employees, particularly early on in this company's success, to live out their passion. And of course, with engineering, the passions tend to be in and around nerdy engineering stuff, which is great. It really doesn't matter what the passion direction is, as long as a company allows its employees to actually take a path towards what it is that they're passionate about. This goes right to the cultural ramifications of a company. Letting people do their thing, letting people express their ways, goes a long way.
And
that's what
they
did so well. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that story. And it's, what a unique position you have, or vantage point, right, to have been working with them for almost their entire history.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. And this piece around passion, right, that they found, it sounds like, you know, they found this one really important defining value that they were built their culture around, right? We are passionate. We want passionate people. We're going to let people express themselves, live out their passions, right? It sounds like inside of work, outside of work. And mm-hmm. that's really held, it sounds like it's become the nucleus of the culture. Is that true?
It is true. It is true. And the company, certainly like any company, has had throughout its history, its ups and downs. You don't get to be a multi-billion dollar valuated market leader by having everything work out perfectly.
No.
But through their ups and downs and through the times, they have maintained this commitment to passion and fostering the passion of the individuals that they get into the organization. The hardest part of that piece is actually scaling. So you can do this on a small basis, you know, your first 10 hires, your next 10 hires. How do you do this on your 50th hire? And how do you pull this off on your 500th hire?
Or your 1,000th hire? Great question.
Right?
Yeah.
So this becomes the million-dollar question for a lot of companies. And this is the kind of stuff that requires professional help. And sometimes, if I can use the word intervention.
Yeah.
Requires intervention, whether positive or negative, requires intervention, just like the negative story. I told you the story that isn't succeeding in our previous segment. Mm-hmm. They asked me for intervention. So I'm essentially doing an intervention with the CEO. The positive kind of intervention, those are the companies that are proactive. A company that would hire you, Claudette, for example, and say, okay, we're doing things right. How can we improve?
Right. We're not going to wait till it's completely fallen apart to do something, right? We want to keep building on this, right? Knowing that if you're going to, as you're scaling and you're at your 500th hire, your 1,000th hire, you have to look at culture perhaps in a different way to maintain what you have, right? And keep that culture growing.
Absolutely. And a great culture attracts the best workers, and it increases retention, it improves performance, it lowers costs. It creates more value in the marketplace, happier employees, which all impacts how you're viewed in the marketplace and how your products are viewed in the marketplace. Simple, but not easy.
Simple, but not easy. And it makes me think about someone I heard speak about Google's culture. I was at a conference last fall.
Sure.
And the speaker was talking about when Google really started to analyze its culture and figure out what worked really well and what helped to drive its success. It was the internal piece we were talking about at the beginning of our discussion today, right? About the communication goals, clarity, all of that. And the thing Google was able to distill it down to was that they had created an environment that had psychological safety so that people felt free and comfortable to make mistakes, right? To fail, to get feedback, to give feedback so they could, you know, maintain their level of innovation and not get to the point that some companies get to where no one wants to talk anymore because they're so concerned about what'll happen if they make a mistake or say the wrong thing. And I think that's so important, right? As companies scale, how do they keep all the positivity that was there at the beginning?
It's a great observation and a great point. Giving people an opportunity to fail or to foster taking the chance is a tremendous outlet for a lot of people. And in the startups that I observe that are requiring the intervention, they are not giving their people, their employees, an opportunity to actually express themselves regardless of outcome. And when I speak about expressing themselves, I'm not necessarily speaking about expressing their personal views or beliefs, but fostering this idea of go to work, work hard, do your job, apply your knowledge. But by God, if you fail, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pick up the pieces. We'll pivot. Whatever we have to do, we will move on. In fact, TripAdvisor is another very important part of their success. They focused in on passionate people that are very smart. They hired great, passionate, smart people, but they gave them an environment which said, you know what, go do your thing, go build it. We're not here building a defibrillator, so if their code doesn't work, people aren't going to die.
Right.
But if they screw up the code, certainly, you know, it's a commercial venture. You try not to do it, but if you do, it's okay. We'll pull it down. We'll get together, we'll rebuild it, we'll iterate and we'll put it up better the next time around. And we're talking about web pages and parts of the site and apps that actually work, keeping it at a high level. So that ability to foster the lack of threat of or just to foster the ability to screw up from time to time is a wonderful paradigm.
Yeah, it really is, especially when you add in, what did we learn from this, right? So we can actually take that information and improve what we're going to do next, as you mentioned, in the next iteration, right, is huge. I sometimes see companies where it's okay to make a mistake, and as you were just describing, and then they'll say, well, we're too busy, though, to talk about what we learned from it. We're too busy to do the after-action review. And I always say, you need to sit down even for 15 minutes or get on the phone for 15 minutes and talk about what you learned. Otherwise, the same mistake's probably going to start happening again.
So true.
Yeah. It's an interesting piece. Yeah.
And I'll add one more thing that we've already discussed, and that your ability to build systems of accountability. So those systems of accountability must be set up in order to accept the notion of what's working, what isn't, and then actually putting that into some kind of an actionable plan. Of course, the things that are working, and then reducing the things that aren't working, but they should be and have to be part of your system of accountability, whatever that may be.
Absolutely. And we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to build off of what Vito just said and start talking more about some best practices for growth. So when companies are going to grow, what are some best practices for them to build their culture and systems and accountability and really set the stage for their success? So we are on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to dive right into best practices.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
The Earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light shamanic healer Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds and brings forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for the Silver Gaia Show and live the authentic life.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together. As technology uses the healing and psycho-spiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech chair.
The Soltech Lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to SoltechWellbeing.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-C-H-W-E-L-L-B-E-I-N-G.com.
TEC Wellbeing.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and I'm here talking with Vito Chesky. We are talking about how companies can avoid chaos and improve their culture by being really smart and innovative about how they build their cultures, how they look at scaling, how they look at their communication, all sorts of ways companies can really be successful. Vito, one of the things I was just thinking about in the last part of our conversation was that sometimes when companies are scaling, at least this is what I've seen, they'll think, well, you know what, we'll just kind of scale, right? We'll sort of make it up as we go along.
Exactly.
We're gonna be very organic about it. We don't need any systems and processes. We don't need those structures. Mm-hmm. And that just seems, at least my experience, it just doesn't work very well. What have you found?
You know, ad hoc seldom works really well. You could wing it, but when it comes to culture, that's best left to great planning. And I'll come back to the same thing we've been talking about, this system of accountability, or creating systems of accountability for your teams to follow. It's everything, Claudette. This notion is it will drive success or create failure.
Yeah, it definitely does. And so what are some of the best practices you've seen? I'm sure there are thousands of best practices out there, but what would you prioritize for as a best practice?
And of course, you know, I'll come back to this, creating the number one best practice, creating a system of accountability. And that that could be something as simple as sitting down and figuring out your top five pieces of technology. Pardon me. figuring out your top five goals or your targets. And then creating system of accountability around that. And of course, clear steps and expectations and communication mechanisms and methods. These are all very important best practices. But in addition to that, I feel that there are impediments to the progress. And I think one of the major barriers to actually making progress is outdated technology and stuff that just doesn't work. So I've noticed some common denominators across a lot of my clients, and there are certain collaboration systems, for example, that are constantly used. Slack is probably the number one that I see. HipChat, Yammer, Google Apps for Business. These are all wonderful tools that are very modern and have built in all of these team aspect and team collaboration parameters that would make this notion of building systems of accountability a much more palatable notion. It doesn't have to be rocket science. It doesn't have to be very difficult. So if your team is dispersed, Google Hangouts, Squiggle, work really well. For project management, don't rely on old-fashioned pen and paper. There's Trello. There's Jira. Asana is a great tool as well. And this also allows you to share your success. And it allows you to share your challenges across the organization. That's a best practice in itself. Because if the left side doesn't know what the right side is doing, guess what the outcome will be?
Not good.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And we can go on and on and on about best practices. I would say that the best practices are those that are best left up to the organization to plan and bring into their own fold. And that promotes team atmosphere, and it also solidifies the notion of regular feedback across the organization, both ways. And all of this factors back into creating this internal communication methodology that is missing. We started this discussion with this internal versus external communication. All of these pieces we've been discussing foster the internal communication paradigm. And that's really what we look for. So instead of spending time, and we can spend the next hour going through a variety of best practices, I would behoove any company leader to start thinking about what is right for their team. And then researching the best practices and maybe hiring a professional such as yourself to help these teams unlock what works best for them given their cultural ramifications. Make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great perspective. I love it, right? Let's figure out what works best for your company and around internal communication. And one of the things, you know, when you said have the leader start researching or understanding what might be a good fit, I think one of the things that sometimes happens is the leader sometimes forgets to ask the team what they think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since they're going to be the ones doing a lot of communicating, right? if not almost always, right?
Especially with the younger companies.
Right.
Yes.
So really getting the teams like, okay, I came up with a few options, right? Team, what do you think based on, you know, what do you think our needs are for communication? And I see this with culture as well sometimes where a leader or a leadership team, executive team will say, you know, we're making these changes and they actually forget to get, or they just don't, whatever, they don't get input from other layers of the organization, or if it's a small organization that's still really flat, just other people and other departments in the organization. And then that tends to actually, from what I've seen, bungle up communication even more because people get resentful or upset. Mm. So there's this way of, I think part of internal communication can also be soliciting input from the people who actually have to communicate, right? What makes sense with them.
Absolutely. And really what you're describing is this need to create clarity, purpose, and goals, which again are systems of accountability. And really what that means is setting clear targets. Mm-hmm. And clear steps to get there. And that's individual. Just like it is individual for all of us, it is individual for each company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And if a company is able to sit down and say, yeah, we have our purpose, right? Whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. These are our goals. We all gotten clear about it. Okay, good, right? And this is the internal communication we're going to have. This is how our communication flow is going to work. I'm making this up, right? But we're going to sit down once a week and see where we are on our goals or how we're reaching them. That completely transforms the landscape of most companies, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. Yeah. And I would behoove any company leader to really ask themselves the question, what will happen if I actually pay some mind to this part of the equation? Don't just let your human resources consultant or representative deal with that. Mm-hmm. Deal with it from the top.
Yep.
Pay some mind and some homage to these factors we're talking about. And even if you don't get it all right the very first time, I can guarantee an improvement in your organization, which in essence leads to retention. And the story I told earlier of this company that where the leaders think they're on their way to some type of greatness, and they're about to find out, unless we have a very serious intervention, that they're not on their way there. They're going to have a retention issue. And retention is a major part of this discussion. Of course, it's an entire topic unto itself.
It is. But
don't put blinders on as a leader. Understand what factors drive retention. There are many surveys done. There's a recent survey, I think in Career Builder it was, and the top three things, flexibility of schedule, recognition, ease of workload. Now, there's an interesting one. Promotion and casual dress. So that is what they identified. About 4,000 workers were identified, polled, and they identified these five factors as major factors in retention.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put blinders on. Learn this stuff. Make it part of your repertoire and develop these systems of accountability that account for this stuff.
Yeah, no blinders and systems of accountability. Yeah, I mean, two really great, clear messages. It just, you've distilled it right down. You've distilled it right down in a way that
simple.
Is so easy for companies to understand. It's great. So we're coming to the end here. So I want to thank you so much, Vito, and also ask if you could share your contact information one more time with our listeners.
Sure, absolutely. You're quite welcome. I really enjoyed my time. This is a very important topic and an important discussion. For anyone and anyone who's running an organization. And if I could be of any help, please feel free to contact me direct. I'm Vito, V-I-T-O, at Icon Staff. And our website is iconstaff, iconstaff.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing such great information. As you said, I think we shared a lot of information that's really, really important for companies of any size, but particularly startup companies to really in, you know, some great food for thought for listeners who are in the startup environment or considering being in the startup environment. I want to thank all of you for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. We had a great time today, and I'll be back in early January with Minda Zetlin, who is a columnist at Inc.com, and she and I are going to be talking about some of the latest trends in business and culture for 2017. Thanks so much, and I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.